Today, Tom Neckville is a special guest. Tom has been a guest on this program before. I looked back at the archives. It was July 6, 2013. Tom Neckville is maybe the most inventive luthier, in this case a banjo manufacturer, that I've ever come across. It's not a logical jump, except in Tom's mind, what he did with the Neckville banjo innovation. Tom will explain all of that to you artists who play Neckville banjos on their instruments. I will tell you some of them are Bela Fleck, Allison Brown, Steve Martin, Noam Pikilny. They're everywhere, and it's a unique sound, and it's a unique way of making the banjo better. And honestly, I think Tom Neckville was the only person that could have arrived at this destination. It was not a logical progression. Inventive guy, very, very forward-thinking. I don't know anyone that thinks like Tom, except Tom. I'm really happy to welcome back to Unreal Bluegrass, Tom Neckville of Neckville Banjos. How are you, Tom?
I'm great, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm great. You know, I was looking back over the archives, and as we do on this program, not only do I talk to performers and songwriters, I also delve into authors and luthiers, and you and I talked about the Neckville banjo product and all the innovations back in July of 2013, so we're overdue. But I thought, well, it's we can catch up on some things, some of the major advances, so many that you've made as a banjo manufacturer, and then I want to catch up on the new stuff too. So let's do a real quick run by. To me, I remember distinctly when the Helium Mount banjo came into existence. It was like a shade had been lifted. So we can tell the audience this. Normally, I think this audience knows that banjos, typical banjo, not yours, a banjo before Neckville. A lot of metal, a lot of brackets, a lot of lug nuts, a lot of all kinds of things that connect the resonator, which most of us recognize in the bluegrass banjo field, to the back of, So you developed this thing, which really I think became a trademark. Well, certainly a trademark, but a huge, huge innovation in the building of banjos. Let's go through that just a little bit, Tom.
Okay. I've gotten good at explaining it, but sometimes I forget what the beginner or the person that doesn't know anything about banjos, you know, how they would like to hear it explained. And so I just basically think of the body, the drum part of the banjo, as being our sound making part of the instrument. And we've enabled the drum part of the instrument to resonate freely inside this one piece frame that in turn attaches directly to the neck. So on a regular banjo, your neck attaches to the tone ring, which is basically your drum part. But then on mine, your tone ring is not connected directly to the neck. It's allowed to resonate more freely inside the metal framework that we provide for the thing, and it's a one-piece frame.
And it literally, if people are trying to envision this, it literally screws onto what we would say is the drum head of a banjo.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, I'm simplifying.
Think of the cap of a mason jar.
Oh, yeah, perfect.
Being quite large, and then having the neck attached to the edge of that jar. And then you use a threaded connection to put the lip of the jar into the cap. That's analogous to the tone ring screwing and putting pressure on the unit from the bottom up, because there's a ring that tightens. And I think most people have heard of it, and they have a vague idea of how it works. And you know, the beauty is that it's done in fewer parts. And it's very simple, easy to maintain, and the beauty is that it puts perfectly even tension on the head, because it's tightening with one screw all the way around the perimeter rather than individual points of tension.
And I think, Tom, correct me on this, but let's say from an engineering point of view, not that I'm one, the more parts you can remove from a system, the less opportunities you have for failure, correct?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
It is really a foolproof design. It's quite, it's quite permanent. Once you put it together, it's not going to change. But if you want to change it, it's very quick and easy. And there are plenty of people that take full advantage of the system. Not only does the body have interchangeable parts, but you can actually remove the neck in about 10 seconds and transport the instrument in two pieces very easily if you're traveling. In other words, you could put it in a suitcase or in a shoulder bag and carry it on an airplane very easily. And people do that. A good buddy of mine from Chicago, Mike Miles, has just gotten back from Istanbul, traveling all over the world with his banjo that I made for him. Actually, we retrofitted an old pot with our flux capacitor system for him, giving him the same removable, adjustable neck. It's another major product that we came out with.
The flux capacitor. That was going to be my next question, because people are out there thinking of a DeLorean automobile and some special time, but this is the kind of stuff, folks, that Tom does. He invents these incredible, more precise and more accurate ways, and then he comes up with these really cool names like flux capacitor. So that's part of the breaking down process. Explain that a little bit, then we'll move on.
Okay. Well, it's the same neck that fits on the frame of the Gila mount banjo can be used in conjunction with this flux capacitor, which is basically an adapter that goes onto the body of a traditional banjo, either an open back or a bluegrass banjo. And it improves the neck connection. And in every case I've done so far where we've adapted our neck to existing bodies or to bodies that we provide in their entirety in the traditional style, those banjos are sounding better than the like banjos would be with the regular neck connected right to the tone ring again. So that flux capacitor forms a nice solid basis for the neck attachment, and it gives takes all the stress off of the coordinator rod so that you can just not worry about those extra adjustments in some of those metal parts, and it just makes it a little simpler to adjust the neck and remove the neck. So, you know, there's a lot of what I'm thinking about a lot is the people that have heard Neckville and they haven't plunged in to learn as much about it as they might. They would benefit from taking a look at our website and diving in a little bit, or
exactly.
Even calling us.
Exactly. I was going to make sure we mentioned there's videos that are available on if you just look up Neckville banjos.
Yeah.
There's videos on different components that describe these things in detail. And
you know, while some of the ideas are not familiar even to repair people and professionals in the field, but they're simple ideas, and they're worth getting to be more familiar with. I think we have something for everyone, because the whole adaptability of we're bridging the gap between the traditional banjo and the more modern helical mount banjos, and we're making them interchangeable now.
Well, and Tom, I'm a big fan, and in full disclosure, I say this when I talk to you in public. I have always craved a Meteor banjo. That is to me the ultimate electric banjo. We haven't even talked about that, but all these other innovations you've made in just the acoustic old-time versus bluegrass version type banjo that we've discussed, and there's many, many more. The electric banjo...
You know, can I mention something in the electric
sure.
world?
Absolutely.
Well, I think that years ago, remember the Dixie Chicks?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they made... they kind of helped push our electric banjos forward, because they were using electric banjos in big auditoriums filled with screaming teenage girls, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they're coming back, in fact, for a tour starting very soon in Europe, and then they're going to be in the States this summer. So we've built several instruments for them.
Oh, good.
Not only not electric-looking banjos, but we've designed pickup systems that are going in them, and we've designed special banjos for their sets that match the scenery in their their show.
Oh, nice.
So it's going to be fantastic, and the instruments are going to be a big part of this show, actually designed just for the tour. I mentioned the electric ideas in the Meteor banjo. The same electronics are available in a new pickup that simply pops into the back of a Neckville banjo.
I saw that on the website.
Yeah. Called an acoustic harness, and we've just remodeled that thing that makes it much more convenient and quick and easy to install, and the controls are on the unit so that you set it and forget it, and then there's a plug on the outside that you just plug and play.
Yeah, let me tell the listeners this too. From my own personal experience, your electric banjos sound the most, when they're amplified correctly, they sound the most like an acoustic banjo, just louder. In other words, you don't have all those tones. That sometimes electric banjos come off like almost like an electric guitar. You know what I mean? But your banjos really sound like acoustic banjos, just louder.
Well, they certainly do and can, but there's also a call for banjos that sound like guitars.
Oh, sure.
And there's a call for, you know, all kinds of different banjos, and that's really why I love the banjo so much. I see it cropping up in these Irish circles and in country music.
And the six string, the six string now is really becoming pretty visible.
I would think that I think it's been around a long time, and it's never really caught on like big. However, I'm still expecting that it will be big, and it is getting bigger. I think the country music people are pushing it forward a little bit, and when it becomes a little more mainstream, perhaps we'll catch on with the general populace a little bit more. I think, the guitar being so popular, it really leads to the possibility that some of those guitar players are going to pick up the banjo, and I know many, many guitar players that have done just that. Mm-hmm. And, in my case, I started with the banjo and went to the guitar, but I think the more common scenario is to have a guitar and then realize that it's not that different from a banjo. But you can totally express yourself a lot differently on a banjo, and they're just so much fun to play.
Tom, you are so good at explaining what you've done innovation-wise. I wanted to ask you to brag just a little bit maybe on some of the very well-known names that now play Neckville banjos, whether they're electric or the acoustic version or the old-time version. You may be reluctant to do that, but I would like for you to mention some that the audience would recognize readily that have now come around to this innovative, revolutionary type of banjo that you're putting out.
Well, we're just finishing up a banjo for Noam Pekelny. In fact, it's probably going to be shipped today. And he has a couple of our instruments already and uses his Nexstar quite often. And his new one is going to be pretty similar to the Nexstar, but a little bit updated, simple, handsome instrument. And Noam being one of the premier modern players, and also he does both bluegrass and progressive. Of course, the Dixie Chicks, who I mentioned before, are coming back, and they're going to be out showing off some really cool new Neckville banjos. And the other Steve Martin, is appearing on TV a lot these days with his Neckville. It's very, flattering to have guys like that have all kinds of priceless, wonderful banjos, and the one that he chooses to grab and take on TV all the time is his Neckville.
Right.
It's his number one.
Every time he's on, I see it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every time I see him, he shows up with it live or on TV. He's always got Tom Neckville's banjo in his hands.
Yeah, it's very nice to see that. And there's groups like bluegrass groups like Daly and Vincent with Jesse Baker playing banjo for him. We're not just in the New Age area, but we're getting more and more into the bluegrass arena. And tenor banjos, we're making something for Wee Banjo 3.
They're
not currently playing the Neckvilles, but I hope that after Merlefest this coming spring that we'll have at least a banjo in their hands.
That's good time. Well, they were just a guest for the second time also, just like you are. I just got another a bit of information from them when they appeared here locally. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
We're constantly
finding new people that are getting excited about banjo, and we will go out of our way to customize and make the banjo just for that person. We just had a great time. This is a really fun job, you know, because we get to know so many people. And we're coming up on 30 years of banjo building. In fact, we're designing a new banjo and putting our 30 years of experience into one model that pretty much has everything. And that's going to be available very shortly. We've got one in the finishing stages as a prototype that we can take pictures of and start to promote that model. We're real excited. And the pickup system that we have is, you know, I don't want to make too much of a big deal out of that, but, you know, I'm just excited about it because it's the thing that's been absorbing all my time for the last couple of weeks.
Well, you know, Tom, it's difficult to amplify a banjo. I think that's the reason you focused on that so much throughout, not just the electric, but also what the new thing is. It's hard to amplify them and get the sound that you want because there's so many things going on inside them. So I think that that's going to be a real handy thing when you've got it ready to go.
The banjo is a big speaker as well as a, you know, it just is, by the nature of the beast, it's a tough one to, it's not that hard to amplify, it's just hard to make it sound good.
Right, that's right.
Feedback.
That's right, that's right. It's like trying to put a pickup inside of a drum kit.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just putting them on, well, this is good. I wanted to, I've told you this before off the air, I saw you in Raleigh, and I wanted to stop and talk, and it was kind of my first year to be that involved in the IBMA Week Business Conference, and I never got back to you again, and I enjoy your banjos and the innovation that you're doing so much that I wanted to come back and catch up a little bit. Did you happen to
catch the act from Australia that was at IBMA? The guy's Mustard Courage, of course.
Oh, yes, I did actually. I did see them at one part. Yeah, not very long, though, because I was moving a lot. Are they playing Neckville, I assume, right?
Yeah, they are. And, you know, they're quite an entertaining group. There's a lot of people in America are just discovering who they are. But they're when you see them live, it's a riot. They're funny and they're good and they have a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm. You know, Tom, I think this, and I know it's 30 years, I know it's a labor of love for you, but I feel like that, you know, it was first this shocking, the first time that you see one of these Healy Mount resonators. And I remember them, I'm that old, when they first came out. But I think that now you've the names that you're mentioning and all the people that are using not just that form of your banjo, but the electric, I think that you finally won over that generation that maybe just looked at what you were doing and maybe just didn't get it visually, so didn't want to get into it that much, as a musician. But I really think that you're everywhere. Well, you've described just a few of them. I know there are other people that play them, but you have to feel like, you know, things are really becoming recognizable and you're no longer the new kid. Sounds silly to say after 30 years, but Neckville banjos are a very, very vital part of bluegrass and music in general, as you've described it.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be to hear that from someone else. We feel like we're, you know, trying to make an impact, and sometimes it's hard to see it. But when you look out there and you see people at festivals coming up with their Neckvilles and they're happy and I go to a lot of events and hang out with my customers and get a chance to play banjos that have been in existence for a while, and it's kind of like being your kid, you know, and it's a lot of fun.
Your kids
seem to sound better than ever.
Your kids have
get them back.
Your kids have come back home, and they're doing okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, which is very, very gratifying, and I'm going to have a lot of these banjos running around the world for many, many years, and that's it's a neat legacy to leave behind.
I think it is. I think you should be proud. Now, we've talked about the website. Physically, you're located where again? They can find this on the website, but I want you to describe
right
it.
Right in the middle of the continent in Minnesota.
Okay.
Right in the Minneapolis area, not far from the airport.
Okay.
And, and we do welcome people that come to Minneapolis, and we often have people coming in to check out our showroom and factory. We do everything here. We have metal working and woodworking, painting and finishing, and recording studio and showroom, and we just remodeled our area here, so it's much more comfortable for entertaining people. So if you are in the area, come and see us.
Yeah, well, if you've never been into, let's say, banjo manufacturing, I don't want to call it a plant, we'll just call it an area. It's a blast to see, and when you're that open and you say, this is how we make the necks and this is how we do this, it's just fascinating. Even if you don't play a banjo, it's just fun to see how they're put together, because you start appreciating all of the effort that not only goes into playing them from the listener point of view, but what goes in behind them and how you make them, and especially in your case, the very innovative things that you do. So I would love to. I haven't been to Minneapolis in a while, but if I'm there, I'm coming by.
That would be great.
Okay. Hey, Tom Neckville, thanks a lot, man, for coming back to Unreal Bluegrass. This is your second time. And I ask people, too, and you can hear yourself, Tom, if you go back to the archives, July of 2013, we had a long discussion about the very beginning and all the issues that you went through to get started. So I'm happy that we're talking now to bring people up to date, and just always happy to talk to you.
It's great to talk to you, Steve, and thank you so much for the opportunity to talk.
Well, I will see you again around the summer and the festival and wherever I find you. If I see you next time at a big event, I'll make sure that I have time to sit and talk for a while. I do apologize. I saw you just a glancing blow in Raleigh, and I got absorbed. So thanks, Tom.
All right.
I'll see you back.
Well, thank you. Bye-bye.
There you go. That's Tom Neckville updating. Always innovative. You can almost talk to Tom every couple of months, and he's got something new coming out that is just making banjo playing and banjos better and more interesting. And it really just, I think the best way to describe it is the engineering goes into them that just make them more accessible, and you can do more things with them. He spent a little bit of time talking about the adjustability of the neck and the portability that it allows for the banjo. If you play a banjo, you get that instantly, what he's describing. Thanks so much to Tom Neckville for being available to talk about his wonderful instruments and innovations. I will see you all later.